This is the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Taylist Media in association with KBB Birmingham 2020.
Welcome to the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast. I'm Andy Davis, and welcome, in fact, to a very special episode this week as I am currently on my way to the Kitchen Design Judging Day for our KBB Review Retail and Design Awards 2020. As you can probably hear, it's really busy here, honestly. It's like Piccadilly Circus. Oh, no, wait, hang on. No, wait a minute, it is Piccadilly Circus. We're in central London today, and I've just walked from Charing Cross Station across Trafalgar Square into Piccadilly Circus, and now I'm just arriving at our venue for the day, the Smeg flagship store on Regent Street. So a proper tour across London. And it's here that judges and finalists will meet, and winners will be chosen. So throughout the day I'll be seeing if I can grab as many people as possible and find out a bit more about their shortlisted projects. But first I think a bit of an explanation of how all this works. We open for entries back in September and everyone sends them in a written overview of their kitchen or bathroom project. And those entries are then sent off to all the judges and they painstakingly go through every single one and score them across a series of criteria. We add all the scores up. And the top four in each category become our shortlisted finalists. Now, those finalists then come to the presentation days, so it's kitchens today, like I said, and they each have 15 minutes to present that project in person to the judging panel. So I suppose it's a bit like Britain's Got Talent, but with designers rather than teenage dance troupes and Eastern European sword swallowers. Although who knows what designers will do to win one of these awards. So as always, before we get started, we just want to remind everyone that the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast is brought to you with the very kind support of KBB Birmingham 2020. It's the biggest kitchen, bedroom and bathroom show in the UK, and it's on at the NEC from the 1st to the 4th of March, so just a few weeks' time. We're recording live versions of this podcast every day at 2 p.m. in the Central Bar, so we're on just before happy hour starts. So for more info on everything that's happening at the show, go to kbb.co.uk. So I'm here just outside the flagship showroom of our kitchen judging partner, Smeg. So firstly, a huge thanks to them for supporting the awards and hosting us today. We're doing three categories in total, and we're going to start with the Kitchen Designer of the Year project cost over £50,000. Now you can see all the images from the projects you hear about today by just going to kbbreview.com/podcast and clicking on this episode. So we're going to start here, some really interesting and diverse kitchens actually in this first category that we're doing the presentations for. We're going to hear from our finalists, Oliver Moss from Roundhouse, they're here in London. We've got Rob Waite from Rencraft, who are based in Sevenoaks. We've got Pippa Payton from Pippa Payton Designs in Oxfordshire, and Jane Everett from Naked Kitchens in Norfolk. So they're the finalists for the Kitchen Designer of the Year project cost over £50,000. So let's see if we can go in and grab them as they come out of their presentations. Okay, so we've just got Oliver Moss here from Roundhouse, who's officially our first victim. Oliver, you've just come out of the first presentation, haven't you? How was it?
It was very good, thank you. Yeah, it all went very well. Seemed to like it.
Well, that way you wouldn't be here if they didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about that project that you're up for. You're up in the Kitchen Designer project cost over 50 grand, so this is a substantial project here. Tell us a little bit about it.
It was the second kitchen that I'd done for Mr. and Mrs. Randall, and I showed the judging panel as well, the original kitchen, because it was very much the kind of brief. It was a very white, quite clinical, very contemporary kitchen from about 7-8 years ago, and the brief basically was to just create something completely different, which I hope I had, and the clients were very happy. So it was a complete change from what they had before.
I think what stands out about that kitchen is the materials that you've used in it. I mean, they are very sort of impactful. I mean, they're designed to kind of be very noticeable as soon as you walk in that room. Was that part of the brief from those clients?
Yeah, it was. It was very much trying to obviously create a working kitchen that kind of functioned, but also kind of treat it like bits of furniture. I didn't want it to look like a roundhouse showroom, but it had to kind of work. And there are a huge amount of different materials. There's veneers and metal wraps, even two different styles. There's, you know, we've got in-framed furniture and we got laid-on cabinetry. But it works. And that was kind of the biggest challenge, was to kind of create something, A, very different, but, you know, mixing all of those materials.
And as a designer, are they the projects that you really get excited about? Are they the ones where that client walks in and you just think, oh, yes, this is going to be a good one?
Yeah. I mean, and obviously I had the help that it was their second kitchen and I designed their first kitchen and they kind of trusted me to do something completely different. But it's kind of what we say, or what I say to people when they come into the showroom, is that what I think we do nicely is you can have a contemporary kitchen, but by mixing materials, colours, textures, it can have a bit of warmth. It doesn't have to feel cold and clinical just because it's contemporary. And that's what I think and I hope is what people like about, you know, coming into Roundhouse.
Well, look, it's a beautiful piece of work. Thank you. Congratulations for being the finalist and good luck on the night.
Lovely. Cheers.
We've got Rob Waite here from Rentcraft. Rob, how did George's session go? You've just come out.
It went okay, I think. Slightly nervous, but I think it was okay.
It's not too nerve-wracking, is it, when you're in there?
No, they're quite nice. Once you're in there, they're fine. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the project that you're actually up for here.
Did quite a striking kitchen in a bungalow that had a pool in the back garden. Quite bright, exciting worktops and wallpaper.
Wow, a pool in the back garden, that's very nice. This is a very sort of... I mean, well, tell us a little bit about Rentcraft, because this is a very Rentcraft kitchen, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it's... We make everything, or we've been going for 30-something years in Sevenoaks, got workshops in Sevenoaks, showroom in Tunbridge Wells. We make everything on site, so if you can draw it, we can make it. But this was a mix of traditional in-frame units and some slightly non-standard handleless units. A decent project to get your teeth into, not a developer's grey kitchen with a dark grey island. But I did furniture design at uni and then I was a cabinet maker, so I wouldn't have left my job to go and just sell kitchens. Yeah, I like the fact we make it all ourselves. It wouldn't interest me as much otherwise, I don't think.
Well done with your presentation. Congratulations on being a finalist and good luck on the night.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Right, just come out of the judging room is Pippa Payton from Pippa Payton Designs. It's lucky that you have that name, considering it's the company you work for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's an eponymous company, that's what we'd refer to as. So how was your presentation? How did it go?
It was busy, interesting. The judges asked lots of very interesting questions, which was all good. I like to explain my designs, so that's all good.
Now, you're a bit of an old hand at these things now, because you do keep turning up as a finalist in our categories. What do you think it is that makes a winning designer? What attributes do you think you need to have?
I think, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, the clients and the brief and getting that right. But I think it has to be there has to be something extra and added that lifts your design above everything else. Obviously, you've got to get the layout right. Obviously, you've got to get the right things into the kitchen. But I think it is the detail beyond that and the story behind the things you put into the design that lift it above and make it that bit more interesting.
And we've certainly got that in the project you've been talking about today. Tell us a little bit about it.
So the kitchen that was up for the awards for today was for a client who has a Grade 2 listed manor house in the Cotswolds, and they wanted us to redesign the whole kitchen. So we basically knocked together four rooms into an L shape, and the star of the show, as it were, is a 7-metre-long island. It was a very long room. And interestingly, with this project, the client didn't want seating around the island, which is unusual because most people do now. But they, as a family, like to sit around a dining table and chill and converse rather than round an island. So it's got quite a striking long island. And then along one wall, again, is wall floor to ceiling units with a hidden cupboard, a hidden door that goes through to a pantry stroke back kitchen beyond. But the interesting thing about those units are the material. The client has a love of olive trees, dating back to his late father served in the World War II in Italy, and they've always loved olive. So we decided that we were going to use a real olive wood veneer, bookmatched, crown cut bookmatched, on those units. Which makes for a very striking run of units and makes it interesting because it is a very long run.
Well, it's a very spectacular space, and it's got a great story behind it, which is always great. So, look, if ever I'm going to do my Grade 2 listed manor house, I'll come to you for it, OK?
Thank you very much, Andy.
Good luck.
Thank you.
So I'm back outside again, taking a little break in between presentations here on a busy Regent Street. While we're waiting for the next lineup to begin, why don't we have some Regent Street facts for you? Regent Street was London's first purpose-built shopping street. Yay, didn't know that. And it is the joint fourth most expensive square on the Monopoly board, along with nearby Oxford Street, and will cost you £1,275 if you land on it with a hotel. Not a lot to do with kitchens, but we're nothing if not informative. Now, Jane Everett from Naked Kitchens, also finalist in the Kitchen Designer of the Year, project cost over £50,000, but her colleague, Louise Berry, is also a finalist in the next category, Kitchen Designer of the Year, project cost £30,000 to £50,000. So I'm going to see if I can grab both of them after Louise has finished her presentation. With me here now, I have it's a company with a double set of finalists in two separate categories. In the Kitchens Over 50, we've got Jane Everett.
Hello.
And in the Kitchens 30 to 50, we've got Louise Berry, and they're both from Naked Kitchens.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, so I think it might be worth starting off, but tell us a little bit about Naked Kitchens, because you've obviously done very well for yourselves this year. Louise, you won last year.
I did, yes.
So tell us a little bit about Naked Kitchens.
Well, we're a manufacturer, so we make everything up in Norfolk, and we specialise in making kitchens. Literally, the ranges range from, well, it's up at the top end, and so down to where we can just do doors, but all handmade, beautifully made, and spray-painted on our spray lines. So, attention to detail.
And Louise, what kind of freedom does that give you as a designer, knowing that there's a workshop out the back that can make anything you ask?
It's amazing. We can literally do anything. Jamie's, our other director, is his motto is don't say no to anything. So if there's a project that comes to us and they want to explore new designs, then we will work with them to create it. You know, we don't try and restrict them on that. So it's amazing.
But is there a Naked Kitchens style? What do people come to? What do they expect when they come to Naked Kitchens?
I think we are creating, or have been creating over the last years, very earthy, lots of natural materials,
yep,
I would say.
Yep, yep.
We use a lot of timber within projects,
because yep,
that was our heritage. We were initially very predominantly working with timber, and then we've moved over the last 10 years more and more into kitchens.
Yeah.
So lots of timber, beautiful, earthy, and totally bespoke.
Yeah.
So, Louise, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about the project that you're a finalist for that you've been telling the judges about today.
So, my project is the Stanhoe Kitchen, which was based in a little village close to us called Hartley. The theme across it was to have a sort of Scandinavian-inspired kitchen, but the main design concept was to have these exposed box-joint drawers, and they ran through the entire kitchen, and the use of white American oak, which is what we predominantly use at Naked Kitchens. So, yeah, I mean, it was a really, really fun project to work on, and completely unique. As I said in the presentation, it's not one that we've done again, is it? So, yeah, but it was a really fun project to work on.
And what about you, Jane? You're in the top category there, the over 50s. Tell us a little bit about your project.
Well, again, and in fact, we don't just work in Norfolk, but this one happens to be in Norfolk as well. And it's a kitchen where we went in and we totally redid the staff kitchen, the old staff kitchen, phenomenal space, with a what we call a transitional kitchen. So very beautiful in-frame kitchen, but to bring in modern elements to it. So we work very closely with the client to bring in super, sort of right down to attention, like the flooring was sourced and the width of the planks and everything. So not just the kitchen that was within the design.
So how closely are you working with the client on a project like that? Because it's a very personal kind of space, isn't it? What input did they have?
Well, we would work very closely with the client, because where we're evolving a totally bespoke kitchen, effectively you can't say, hey, here's one we did before, so you have that in blue. So you are working with every aspect of it. So lots of meetings with the client, both in the workshops, to show them what we're thinking, once all the CADs have been drawn up, so that they are happy when we actually make it. So there's not just the big reveal. So very closely is the answer to that.
congratulations to you for the double nomination for the company and individually as well. I'm glad it went well today. And good luck on the night.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
So that was Jane Everett and Louise Berry from Naked Kitchens, double finalists. Now let's hear from a couple of the other finalists in the Kitchen Designer of the Year project cost £30,000 to £50,000 category. We've got Caroline Davis from Aristocraft Kitchens in Dudley and Matt Higgins from Sustainable Kitchens in Bristol. Again, to see all the images from the kitchen projects today, just go to kbbreview.com/podcast and click on this episode. So I've got Caroline Davis with me here from Aristocraft Kitchens. How did your presentation with the judges go?
I felt it went really well, actually, really positive, a lot better than I thought. I've actually been petrified on the way up.
So tell us a little bit about the project that you're in for here.
Well, they wanted me to design a multifunctional space for them. So it was really getting a living zone, kitchen zone and dining zone, because they've got two small children. They led really busy lives. So it was something where they could all relax, sort of entertain as well. First dining was new going out since they've had the children. With small children myself, I sort of got where they were coming from, really.
So is that where you start as a designer? You sit down with those clients and you really get to know them and understand them before you even talk about what their kitchen might look like?
Yes, definitely. We have sort of a design consultation. But, yeah, I talk to them sort of how they like to use their kitchen, sort of what they like and what they don't like about the kitchen that they've got existing, and really just getting a feel for their lifestyle to then have that in mind when I'm designing.
So give us an idea of some of the details of that project then to achieve what it is that that client wanted.
Because they wanted an in-frame kitchen, but it needed to be sort of more contemporary and simplistic, I drew and designed every single frame individually, which was quite time-consuming. But I felt the overall look and time that I put into it really paid off.
Yeah, it's an excellent project. So very well done for becoming a finalist, and good luck on the night.
Thank you.
Okay, our final presenter in the Kitchens 30 to 50 category is Matt Higgins from Sustainable Kitchens. Now, Matt, how did it go with the judges today?
It's really good. There's lots of good questions from the judges. The project, also it was good to explain the project and all the sustainable side of things and how we handled everything. So it's a good chance to talk about it.
Well, before we get onto the project, tell us a little bit about Sustainable Kitchens, the company, because obviously you're setting out your philosophy there right in the name of the outfit, aren't you? So tell us a little bit about it.
So we're a company based in Bristol. There's probably about 20 people in the company. We design and build kitchens in Bristol, so we take that from the design point of view. Clients come to us, create a design, and we also manufacture on site, so and install as well, so the whole scope for the kitchen design.
What's the sustainable philosophy then? How have you arrived at that as your USP?
So sustainability is obviously becoming more and more key. Sam, the owner's background, also is basically on sustainability. So we're trying to improve sort of how kitchens are installed and trying to change the way things are done. So the philosophy is company-wide as well, even using materials. So if there's any offcuts, that's all donated to charity. If there's any unusable bits, that's used in the fire to heat the building, and any sort of sawdust and anything, that's used as fire starters. But more than that, in terms of actually building the client's kitchen, everything is water-based. We've managed to get rid of all of the cost substances that we use, and down to sourcing the materials as locally as possible.
So that brings us on to this project, doesn't it? Because the client came to you looking for something very, very specific, didn't they?
Most clients are always looking, have sustainability on their mind. But the client, in this particular case, was building an eco extension, and everything wanted to be as sustainable and as have the sort of less impact, as little impact on the environment as possible. So it was a great project for us to start from the get-go. The client was very intrigued on what materials we use, what processes, so what paints and varnishes and things we use. And we're very open about talking about that, sending the sort of the data and things that they can study. Most people don't sort of go into much detail as the client did in this case, but a lot of people will come to us, talk about it, and know that the kitchen they're going to get sustainable without having to do too much research on their part.
So what are the big challenges then that you face while having to tick those kind of boxes with a client that's looking into that level of detail?
So as a standard kitchen, we try and do everything as sustainable as possible. I think the challenges in sort of the areas that we are always trying to improve on are things like the worktops, trying to find the most sustainable solutions. A lot of them sort of recycle things might be sustained, say they're sustainable, but they recycle products, and then the recycled products can't be then recycled. Mm. So there's challenges on that front.
Because obviously you're making the actual furniture, you're making the kitchen, but obviously that's only a part of what makes up a kitchen. So are you limited by what's available, say, for appliances or taps or sinks? What are the limitations that you can't control?
The limitations, obviously, from a sustainable side, is we can't control, obviously, the building materials that the building is being used. Obviously, we're trying to make it easy for everyone to have a product that's sustainable as possible, and a lot of times that mindset might go into the building construction of things. Unfortunately, a lot of it is down to cost. So we have a lot of clients who want to be as sustainable as possible, but it does cost more at this stage, and we're hoping to get products that are of less value to open it out for more and more people.
Well, look, Matt, it's a fascinating story and a really interesting project. And I'm glad that a project like this is actually making it as far as the finals of the national awards like this. So well done. Good luck on the night.
Thank you very much.
Caroline Davis and Matt Higgins there. There is, of course, a fourth finalist in that category, Paul Endicott from Duval Kitchens. He unfortunately couldn't make it in person today as he's in New York, but he's still very much in the mix. So we're on another break between categories here. So I've come back out onto Regent Street for a bit of fresh air. Well, it's a sort of fresh air. You get in central London. So a couple more facts about where we are. 2019 was the 200th anniversary of the naming of the street. It was named after the Prince Regent, who later became George IV after the death of his father, George III. Yes. And at the end of this part of Regent Street, there's a famous statue of Prince Frederick, Duke of York, standing on top of a 42-metre-high column. Frederick was the other son of George III and is the grand old Duke of York from the nursery rhyme. A bit more distinguished than the current Duke of York. So let's head into our final category of the day, Kitchen Designer of the Year. Project cost up to £30,000, where our finalists are Martin Baptie from Baptie Design in Scotland. We've got Lynn Bailey from Noel Dempsey Design in Ireland. We've got Diane Berry from Diane Berry Kitchens in Manchester. And last presentation of the day will be from Amy Studdart from Daytrue in London. Again, if you want to see all their images from all the projects that they're talking about, all you need to do is go to kbbreview.com/podcast and click on this episode. So first up in the Kitchens Under 30 category is Martin Baptie here from another eponymous design company. Give us a little bit of background about where your company comes from, Martin.
So I studied architectural technology and then found myself finding my way into the kitchen and bathroom design sector. So.
And now you love it.
Indeed.
Tell us a little bit about the project that you've been talking to the judges about today.
So the kitchen today is a very interesting design that it merges a lot of the architecture within the space with the kitchen. It allowed us to create angles and features that almost talk to you when you stand in certain positions.
So is this something that excites you? You're trying to do something a little bit different that you haven't seen anywhere else?
Well, certainly, if I catch Nadia, who's a designer, my sister in the company, if I catch her on internet surfing for ideas, you know, I'll say she has to use her imagination.
give me some detail here of the elements of this kitchen that sort of fit into that category.
It was all about the space, because it being on the first floor level, you enter the space via a staircase, so we wanted the first visuals of the kitchen to really have an impact. So coming up the stairs, we have angles that hit you straight away from the island and then almost project out onto the back wall. It's really hard to describe unless you're in the space, but it is actually quite magical and almost enchanting being in the space.
It's fantastic the way you describe it. You're clearly very, very passionate about it. It is such an interesting thing to kind of look about and hear about, because it is very unique. I haven't seen anything quite like it before. Congratulations for getting this far and being a finalist. Thank you very much for coming all this way.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thank you very much.
Right, we're still going with the kitchens under 30k category here, and we have come all the way over from Ireland this morning, Lynn Bailey from Noel Dempsey Kitchens. How are you, Lynn?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
You must be very tired by now, I'm guessing.
I'm okay. I had a little power nap in a while, and then I'll be fine.
What time did you get up this morning?
I got up at 10 to 5.
Right, so 10 to 5 in the morning. I feel incredibly guilty for making you come over here and do this now. It's also your birthday today, I understand.
It is. So, you know, I have to win at this stage.
Well, happy birthday to you. So tell us a little bit about the project you've been telling the judges about.
It's a contemporary kitchen. It was a young couple who owned a penthouse apartment in Dublin. Lucky them. And they wanted to update it. It was dated. It was about 12 years old. And they needed it to work for them as a young family and to stand up to the high rental market that penthouses in the city centre of urban Dublin demand. So it was dual purpose for a young family and possibly renting at a high, you know, high market.
So as a designer, are you looking for those kind of challenges where you've got to meet several points at once?
I love when I get a challenge out of a kitchen. I love when, especially when I get small kitchens that need to have everything in them or awkward spaces. It does make it more interesting. It's very easy to design a simple kitchen, but when you're faced with lots of limitations, it forces you to think a bit more creatively, think outside the box. This couple in particular were challenging in their own right, so there was, you know, there was quite a lot of challenges from start to finish.
I mean, the Irish market is very competitive,
yeah.
And it's a wide mix of styles in that market too, isn't it? I mean, Noel Dempsey does everything from very farmhousey rural kitchens right up to these kind of big stylish, yeah, apartment ones, and you're there in the mix for all of them.
They're known for their bespoke kitchens, handmade kitchens, shaker style, in frames, painted kitchens. That's really what they're known for. But more recently, we've been doing a lot more modern kitchens. That's probably my love, really. I'm more natural in the modern world. But we are getting known for both, and it is a competitive market. There's lots of people out there.
It's a really nice project, so congratulations for coming. Thank you for coming this far, and have a happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I've managed to grab awards. Are you an awards veteran, Diane, do you think?
I think so. I worry that people perhaps think I'm a bit obsessed about collecting them. But I do see it as a great way to promote the company and to try and, I don't know, set a standard that other people aspire to achieve. And then I feel like I'm doing a little bit of good for the industry.
Well, quite right, too. So we are Diane Berry from the eponymous Diane Berry Kitchens up in Manchester. You can probably tell from the accent. You're not feeling very well today, though, are you?
I'm not. I'm very full of a cold, so I sound very odd, even though I do sound very Manchester.
It does make you sound even more northern, that, yeah, is true, but I like that. He really is Manchester. Well, look, you've just come out doing your presentation. You're a veteran of doing these things. How do you think it went?
I think it went very well. The tissues and the cough medicine on the table, I think, all things considered, it went well. It's a sweet little kitchen, so it's quite nice to talk about it.
Well, yeah, tell us the story behind this kitchen, because it is one of those projects that is very narrative, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a young couple that came to me a few years ago because I'd done their parents' kitchen, and they didn't think for a minute they could afford a kitchen. I said, well, doesn't matter, let me come and design it for you as a favour, because I'd hate to come and, you know, hear from your parents you've had a horrible kitchen done. And then they managed to stretch to afford that kitchen. Then when they were selling the house, it sold straight away because the kitchen had, you know, had made changes to the space. And then when they got this house, which has a beautiful story to it, because I think 55 people viewed it in a week. And the old lady that was in it, had lived in it from the beginning of her marriage, chose them because they're a young couple with a baby. So she wanted it to go to them. Rather than, and people then tried to put in higher offers, and she said, no, I won't give back word. So it's got a lovely story. Yeah. And they were telling her that they want to be in it forever, and it's near the school that they went to, and they want their children to go to the same school. So they got the house, and it was in a time warp. And then they just said, Diane, come and do your thing. And the nice story is that Ross is a freelance plumber. So I know from the last house, he's not frightened of taking walls down and chimney breaths and moving boilers and moving toilets because they do it at mates rates over the weekend and they all do favours for each other in their houses. So that story and that vision that they let me spend their money, it was just great fun to do.
One of the things I love about your work, and I've seen a lot of it over the years, obviously, is you do sometimes do the big spectacular, you know, massive, great big projects, but you really get under the skin of people, don't you? You really, you know, your first step is always to understand that client as well as you possibly can.
Yeah, I am a people person, so I like things done right, and I like things to be practical. So I come from, my dad was a plumber, so I learned plumbing and electrics and sweeping up and brewing up before I learned design. So I like them to function and work. I watched my mother clean a kitchen, having seven children. I've got five sisters and a brother. She fostered a baby every time she had one. So kitchens have to be easy to look after, easy to maintain, and family friendly. So it was actually, you know, without realising, I was being educated on design as I was growing up and watching my mum deal with Christmas dinners for 27, and that's just immediate family. To, you know, my mum was clever enough to think about things like, she'd use the dishwasher as a way of warming the plates. So she'd put everything in the dishwasher and time it so that as Christmas dinner was ready to be served, the dishwasher had finished, but everything was hot. So, you know, I come from a very practical family. And then I like my designs to be practical and functional and easy to clean, and then pretty too.
Thank you for coming down all this way, despite feeling rotten. So good luck on when we get up to Birmingham in March.
Yeah, have my fingers crossed.
And have a good journey home.
Thank you very much.
Our final finalist of the day, the one who's done the last presentation in front of those judges, is Amy Stoddart from Daytrue. Amy, how did it go for you today?
Yeah, I think it went really well, actually. I'm pleased.
That's good. Now, you are the last one of the day, so, you know, everyone's quite elated now. They can all go home. Tell us a little bit about the project that you're up here for.
The property was in Chelsea. It was a top floor flat, gorgeous, white handleless kitchen with stunning marble, black ironmongery. Yeah, it was really lovely.
So who were the clients for that one then? A typical Chelsea couple?
No, we were basing it on a typical Chelsea couple, but the client was actually a property developer.
Oh, okay, so it's a salon. So what's the difference in designing for a developer than designing for a residential couple, say?
It's a lot easier. Yeah, I found it a better experience because you're working more as a team to cater for this end client, and it's quite nice to stick to a budget.
But talk us through some of the features of this kitchen that really make it stand out for you as the designer.
For me as the designer, I really love we've created this kind of nook. So it's an L-shaped kitchen. And we've created a nook around the corner so you can hide all your appliances. And they're not visible when you're just having dinner or lounging about in the living room.
Because that was a real requirement to the developer, wasn't it? This kind of invisible kitchen element to it. It's a very expensive apartment that, but given where it is, but it's actually not a huge space, is it?
No, it was a really small space, so the struggle was to fit everything in. Luckily, there was some space downstairs where we could create a small utility room, so that allowed us to have a bit more storage and seating in the kitchen.
Thank you for coming today. Good luck in March.
Thank you.
And we'll see you there.
See you there.
That's it for all the presentations today. Everyone's heading home, and it means that I now know who all of the kitchen design winners for 2020 are. I, of course, am sworn to secrecy, or more likely I will get sworn at if I break the secret. To round the day off, though, we are just going to hear from the other group of people without whom we couldn't do this, and that's our judges. But it doesn't end here for us, for me, because in the next episode you'll hear from our bathroom design finalists at their judging day. So I'll see you in a week. I've managed to grab a couple of the judges just before they head off home now that we've finished. So we've got Ros Wilson, who is an interior designer, of course, and we've got Craig Robinson over from House and Interiors, just down the road in Wigmore Street. How's it gone for you guys sat in here all day? Graham?
It's been a great day. It's been seeing lots of high-calibre design, lots of creative use of materials, things that are sort of, not really a trend, but things that are transcending fashion. It's been a really good day.
So what do you think, Ros? Are there any sort of overriding sort of themes that stand out?
I think the designers have done very well. I think in terms of themes, everybody's going beyond to understand the technical and the build and construction. So we've seen a lot of seamless designs and well-integrated joinery and details, but also very interesting, unique finishes. There has also been a lot of metallic, not sprayed, but actual metal finishes used and a combination of different metals within spaces. But what we've seen is that other designers, they're using a lot of timbers and quite exotic timbers and some sustainable timbers, which is very interesting. And yeah, it's been very good.
What difference do you think it makes actually getting the designers in here to talk to them? Because obviously you go through all the entries and you go through that process, but actually getting them in here to talk to them, what difference does that make for how you would evaluate what they've done?
I think you get a real understanding of how the design's developed. So you've got the whole backstory, some more emotional than others, but I think it's a really good way to understand why that designer's produced what they've done, because it makes sense. And by actually talking through with the designer, you see the relationships they've built up with their end clients, how passionate they are about the design, and and a real depth of understanding. It's not just a kitchen, it's more than just a kitchen.
When you look at other people's work, are there sort of fundamentals that you're looking for? Are there things that you're immediately honing in on when you initially look at it?
So obviously as a designer, I'm heading straight for aesthetic, and I know that that's not necessarily the place to start, because if things look beautiful, they attract your attention. But I like to spend a lot of time on site. I like technical. So I start to immediately look at what the technical side of things are. So what, you know, extraction and the taps and the quality, and there's so much in terms of putting it together in a functional point of view that needs to be considered first. I think that's probably where I'd go, and then I'd start to drill down into what the finishes are. We look for more interesting, more unique approaches to the design as a whole, where the designers have thought out the box and tried to approach a space with a bit of individuality.
What about you, Graham? You obviously design a lot of kitchens, you talk to a lot of customers, but when you look at other people's work, are you immediately thinking, oh, the worktop's this or the furniture's that? What are you looking at?
I think you home in on the details a lot, and you think about, from our customers, how our customer thinks about something. So you think of where they're going to, how is the extractor going to work, or how far have they got to walk from the sink, or is the bin next to the sink, and how far have they got to go with their cutlery from the dishwasher. So you look at all those details as if you were looking at it as from your own customer's point of view. But then you also pick up little tips and things that you might not have thought about, or use some materials where you can sometimes get put in a lane where you just do a similar thing. So it's seeing the materials used in a different way, I found today, was really good.
So you're looking to be surprised?
Always
to be surprised, yeah.
You definitely want to think, you want the designers to do better than you would do. And that's the good approach. So if they've got you, if they've caught your attention, that's good. You want that. Mm. Because we're designing for tomorrow, well, not tomorrow's, but designers that will take design, kitchen design further. And so if it's a surprise to us, that's great. That's what we need.
Do you think kitchen design as a discipline in itself is recognised enough? Do you think that's seen as enough of a recognised discipline?
You know, I'm going to come at that for differently to you, yeah. I think, Greg.
I know, that's why I've asked the question.
Yeah. Because it's holistic for me. Yeah. So you can't just, for a bathroom or a kitchen or whatever, not any space in the house can't be viewed as a separate entity. Because, again, it's always about connecting with the person's lifestyle. It's their personality. It's got to reflect who they are. So if you look at one separately, it's going to be disjointed from the rest of the house and feel awkward and it's not functional. They're not going to connect with the space. It's not going to feel right. And then there are many levels to that from your perspective, I'm sure.
Well, I agree with you, because I think we get involved with the rest of the living space, and you end up talking about the bathroom, or you talk about the dining room or the garden. People do home in on about the kitchen designers not getting recognised, but I think it's up to the kitchen designer to show their worth by understanding the whole project holistically. And a lot of the work we saw today, the backstory wasn't necessarily about the kitchen, but about the overall layout of the floor where the kitchen was going to be put. So a lot of the designers today had that holistic approach, which I think is really encouraging. And I think we shouldn't worry about whether we're getting the right recognition. We should just deliver and get on with people and to provide kitchens that work with the living space.
Well, that's as good a place as any to finish, I think. Thank you so much to both of you for your time, and I'll see you both in March.
In March.